Matthew chapter 11. I hope you have your Bible ready tonight. Matthew chapter 11. I want to talk to you about some things we must learn. Some things we must learn. If we're going to be good Christians, there's some things we must learn. Now, Matthew chapter 11, we'll start with verse 28. Very well known passage. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, bless the reading of your word tonight. Please fill me with your spirit and your power. Give me unction, Lord. Help me to be an encouragement, convict, convert, comfort, whatever needs to be done through your word, and use this, O unworthy servant. And Lord, help us to learn what it is to be a Christian. I mean, a real Bible Christian, Lord. Help us to learn it. And then not only help us to learn it, help us to do it, Lord. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You know, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is talking to them and he's revealing his mind to them. And he says something, most people read this, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's usually where people want to stop right there. But have you ever thought about this? Very seldom did he ever say go. He was always telling people, come, listen to me, come watch this, come listen to me, come listen to my teachings, watch what I'm doing, come. Very seldom, and he only mentioned it several times that one day he'll have to say, depart from me. Most of the time he's saying, come to me. He's not willing that any should perish, but come to me. He wants everybody to be saved. Whosoever will, come to me, amen. Whosoever shall call, come to me. That's his message, come to me. That ought to be our message, come to Jesus, amen.
Yes, sir.
I remember I read a story years and years and years ago, and I've probably forgotten half of it. I used to know the names. It was a real account. This preacher said that he was preaching revival in the mining towns of West Virginia. And I did that. I preached revival in Logan, West Virginia, a little community named McConnell's, West Virginia, right outside of Logan, old mining town. And those old miners, you know, said they was pretty rough. And he heard this story about a man, I used to know his name, that was a miner, and he was famous in that area for his testimony. And the problem was he had epilepsy. The man had epilepsy. And one of the Christian miners told him that the old man said, working in the mines, he was wicked like the other miners, you know, and telling dirty jokes and all this cussing and going on, you know. Said, but somehow he got saved. He come to know the Lord and he got saved. Then after he got saved, he would witness to people and they'd make fun of him because he had, his hand was drawn up, you know, and he'd have epileptic fits and it'd just throw him out on the ground, you know, down there in the mines. He'd go into a fit and fall down on the ground and jerk and foam at the mouth, you know, and his eyes roll back in his head. And they made fun of him because he was trying to witness to them. And, the old man thought he was supposed to preach. Said he got a call to preach. Said the Lord had called him to preach. And so he said, well, I'm going to preach. And he'd witness to these men and they'd mock him, make fun of him, you know, And so he rented an old schoolhouse up in town, an old mining town, just one room schoolhouse. And he told all those fellows, he said, I've rented this schoolhouse up here and I'm starting a church. I'm starting a church and I want you folks to come. I want you to bring people with you to come to church. And they mocked him, you know, and he just kept on and kept on inviting them to church till finally one day about five or six of them showed up just to make fun of him. That's the only reason they came, was to make fun of him and to mock him. And they'd say things like, what kind of God you got? Look at what's wrong with you. You can't hardly talk. You can't hardly walk. You go in these fits. It throws you on the ground. And so they came that day just to make fun of him. And just about the time that he got up to preach, he had a epileptic fit. And he drew up in a ball and it threw him down on the floor, you know. And they said he was laying there on the floor, balled up in a ball and about to swallow his tongue and foaming at the mouth and sweating and his eyes rolling back in his head. And he kept saying, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And they couldn't hardly understand what he was saying because of his mouth being the way it was. And he kept saying, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And said a few minutes later, the fit went away and he woke up. And all five of those men was down there at his feet praying around him and crying and weeping. And said his first thought was, boy, I messed this up. I have messed this up. I can't preach. God called me to preach. I can't do it because of my physical problems. And he thought that they were going to make fun of him. And said when they saw he was awake, they all got up and they helped him up. And they started thanking him for the message and patting him on the back and praising God and saying hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. And he said, I don't understand what happened. What happened? I went into the fit. I don't know what happened. And one of them said, listen, that's the greatest sermon we've ever heard. Said a man that's in your condition, if he can talk about Jesus and the love of Christ the way you can talk about it and take the persecution that you take and take the ridicule that you take and then try to preach because nobody else will preach and have a fit, and the whole time he's having a fit, all he says is come to Jesus, come to Jesus. We couldn't resist it. The Holy Ghost got hold of us and we've come to Jesus because of what you did. Now that's what Jesus does. He calls, come to me, come unto me, come unto me. And when we get saved, we call, come unto him, come unto him. But I want you to notice, and by the way, he's never refused, not one. Not one. He's never refused, not one. But I noticed this term in here when I was reading it, and I want you to look at it. In verse 28, it says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Yes, he said that. But verse 29, take my yoke upon you, and most people go from that to verse 30, for my yoke is easy. But I want you to notice this, and learn of me. Learn of me. Now, if I'm going to be a good Christian, I was saved March the 5th, 1978, about 12:15, Eastside Baptist Church, 300 verse of just as I am without one plea, at least I felt that way. And, but that preacher called me to Jesus, and Jesus saved me. And the next thing I want to do, I didn't know nothing about Jesus. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't even grow up in a half Christian home. We didn't go to church. And after mama got saved, I was a teenager. I wouldn't go with her. Nobody ever told me the plain gospel. So you know what I wanted? As soon as I came to Jesus, I wanted to learn of him.
Absolutely.
I didn't know the difference between a Baptist and a Episcopalian or a Catholic and a Pentecostal holiness. I thought they were all the same. They just had different names on the sign. Brother Billy, I didn't know the difference between a King James Bible and the Good News for Modern Man. I just thought they were all alike. I thought if you open up the page, what page are we on? Page 1035. I thought everybody's Bible said the same thing on page 1035. I didn't know any better. I thought everybody sang the same hymns in every church. I thought everybody that stood up and prayed during the church service was right with God. I thought everybody in the choir loved Jesus. I thought everybody in Sunday school loved Jesus. It took a while to figure that out. It wasn't so. But I wanted to learn about him. More than anything else, I wanted to learn about Jesus. And so I got to reading and I got to studying and I got to looking about him and learning about him. Now listen, a lot of confusion about religion, a lot of confusion about denominationalism, a lot of confusion about church ritual and tradition and these things they call sacraments and all that. And people are so busy learning all that stuff and arguing over all that stuff, they have not took time to learn about Jesus. Wow. He said, learn about me, learn of me, learn of me, he said. Now, boy, I'm glad that somebody, old Wayne Henson, guided me to the Bible. And he wanted me to know about Jesus. And he loved Jesus. And my pastor loved Jesus. And they loved Jesus more than they loved anything else. I'm telling you the truth. And they guided me to come to learn of him, to learn of his mercy, to learn about his grace, to learn about his forgiveness. And thank God to learn about his long suffering toward us. Hey, they guided me to do that. And I jumped in that Bible, and boy, I started learning about Jesus. And the more I learned it, the more I liked it. And the more I learned about Him, the more I loved Him. Amen?
Amen.
It's about Him. Learn about Him, not you.
Right.
We got so many people running around here saying, I'm trying to find myself. Well, if you found yourself, you wouldn't like what you found.
Right.
Amen? That's what's wrong now. You're running away from yourself to find somebody else that you are not. Why don't you just go ahead and give in and start learning about Him? He'll show you what you're made out of.
Yeah.
Amen? He'll show you what you're made out of. And look, it's everything is not about you.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to this church because they offer me more. Well, I go to church because they have better programs. Well, I read this version of the Bible because it's easier. Well, I listen to this preacher because he excites me and he knows my passion. Boy, that's the word they like to use now. Passion. He knows my passion. Well, that ain't about you.
That's right.
And by the way, we don't care any of those things about you. Here's all we want to know. How much do you know about Jesus? Amen. Learn of Him. That's it. If you'll learn of Him, He'll teach you who you are, and you'll be like Isaiah. You'll say, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Ought to be in hell right now. Ought to be dead in hell. Woe is me. He'll make you like Doubting Thomas, and you'll fall down your face before Him, and you'll say, my Lord and my God, and you'll quit talking about you. It's not about your feelings. It's not about your feelings. It's not about my feelings. Well, they hurt my feelings. Well, if you got saved and learned about Him, you'd realize you're supposed to be dead.
True.
And alive in Christ. And He ignored their feelings. He didn't ever walk out of a town and say, well, I ain't never going back to that town. They hurt my feelings. Everywhere He went, they hurt His feelings. If you could do that. Look at the Apostle Paul. Every town he went to, they put him in jail, stoned him, spit on him, slapped him, run him out of town, tried to set him on fire, tried to leave him for dead, tried to boil him in oil, everything else. Let me tell you something. It ain't about our feelings. You need to learn about Him. His feeling says this, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you some rest. Amen? And get off your feelings. If you go by your feelings, you ain't never going to do nothing. You know what I wanted to do when I got out of bed this morning? Nothing. I ain't going to do nothing.
Amen.
I didn't feel like doing nothing. And I beat my old flesh and said, I don't care how you feel. You got to get up. It's time to get up. Amen. Do you know what I'd have done if all those years, boy, I heard these great stories of these preachers, you know, and they said they got saved. And the next week, they was preaching a camp meeting. And the next week, all these churches was inviting them to preach revivals. Y'all heard those, hadn't you? And boy, I thought, don't nobody invite me. And when they do, they don't invite me back. I thought, nobody's ringing my phone. If I'm going to preach, I'm going to have to do it down there at the nursing home. I'm going to have to do it over at the Army Reserve. I'm going to have to do it over at the chain gang. I'm sorry, that's not culturally correct. That would hurt somebody's feelings saying that. The York Detention Center, they call it now. I call it York County Hotel. But, hey, I just said if I'm going to preach, I got to go somewhere and preach because ain't nobody cares about me enough to invite me to preach. I didn't go by my feelings. I went by what He told me to do. I just went and found me someplace to preach. Amen?
Amen.
I'd preach on the bus. I'd preach in children's church. I'd get five or six kids in children's church and get up there and preach and scare them to death. I'd jump and holler and set things on fire and beat on things, you know, everything else. I'd just preach. We'd go to camp. We'd get about 100-something kids up there. I'd stand up and scream and holler and sweat just like you any old camp meeting preacher would, you know, and kids get saved, you know. And then when we start a church, rent the old liquor store. The old liquor store. And start a church in the liquor store. I'm sorry for you sophisticated Baptist drunks. That's ABC store. We rented the ABC store. It was closed, of course. Wasn't no leftover stock or anything. But, hey, just went down there and stood up and preached. Invite people to church and preach. Let me tell you something. If you go by your feelings, you will never, number one, you'll never get saved. And if you get saved, number two, you will not serve God. And he said, do that, take my yoke upon you, he said, that's service. And you'll never do that if you go by your feelings. Because you know what? Somebody's going to hurt your stinking feelings just about every day. I get mine hurt just about every day. And if you don't want your feelings hurt, Sister Betty, I think we need to tell them you don't want to serve the Lord if you don't want your feelings hurt. Because that's when it starts, ain't it, Billy? Amen. I don't like that song.
Yeah.
Did you know you sang that wrong? Did you know that's out of key? And Billy says, key? It has a key? Amen. Hey, who cares about our feelings? I care more about his feelings than my feelings. I want him to be proud of me. I want him to say, enter thou into the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. That's the way I want him to feel. It's not about your emotions. I don't want to learn about your emotions. I pastored this church one time temporary for about 90 days. And when I first went in there, they had a circle of chairs. And they done took all the, wasn't nothing like church no more. They had a circle of chairs and the preacher, whatever they called him or her, would sit in a chair and discuss the Bible. Well, while they wasn't looking, I went in there and lined the seats back up in the rows and found the old pulpit and brought it out there and set it up like church. And I got up to preach. And the old man that got me to go there, he told me this, and I love the guy. He's still a friend of mine. And he said these other preachers came in and they've warped our church, and they sit around this circle and they talk about how they feel. And they talk about their emotions. And they'll talk about getting in touch with themselves. Well, I don't know how that happened, because Christianity is not about you or me. It's about him. And I don't need to learn about your emotions. I know what they are. They're untrustworthy.
Amen.
Amen. And I don't need to learn about you. I know enough. Amen. This man told me one time, no, a woman told me, said, you need to know more about your church members. I said, I don't need to know any more than I know about them right now, whether they're saved or lost. That's all I need to know. And I'll preach to them, and you can worry about everything else about them. Gossip. Look, it's about him. It's about learning about him. I'm glad that you have feelings. But I'm not interested in your feelings. I'm interested in what you think about him. I hope you got a degree. I was working on my PhD today. Yeah, I was. My PhD. That'll impress some of you on there. Amen. That was your PhD. And we got this drainage pipe in our front yard, and I went and got my post hole diggers and went out there and cleaned it out. Amen. I got my PhD back today, Billy. Amen. Amen. I'm a Baptist preacher. You can put doctor on the front of it now. I got a PhD. Post hole digger. Amen. I'm not interested in that stuff. I want to know about him. We sing it here. More about Jesus, more to know. Amen. You'll never know enough. You'll never learn enough about Jesus. So I got to think about this. What's some other things I need to know because I know him and I know about him? Here's what I learned knowing about him. Are you ready? Number one, I learned the value, the true value of time. People's whiling away the hours out here now because they ain't at work and everything else, and they're out of school. And by the way, don't you parents appreciate your teachers now that your kids are at your house and you're the teacher? Amen. Little demons, amen. Listen, you glad they got public school now, amen. You glad you didn't homeschool now, amen. But let me tell you something. These people out here whiling away their hours, and the most important thing, probably the most important thing in this life that I learning about Jesus is, life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. I'm 66 good-looking years old.
Amen.
I'm just teasing. I never think of that. I looked in the mirror the other day and took my belly and pulled it back in and said, what a man. What a man. Amen. But listen, my life is going by just like that. Just like that. It's just flying by. Now, when I was younger, it seemed like a day lasts forever. But the older you get, the faster it goes. The faster it gets up. And I've outlived most everybody that I grew up with. All but a handful, maybe two or three. I've outlived all of my brothers and sisters, eight of them. I've outlived my mom, of course. She almost outlived me, too. But my life, I get to thinking about, and it seems like just the other day, I was a kid.
Yeah.
Amen? Your life's like a vapor, and this time of year is a good time to look at it. That vapor comes up off the grass in the morning, and you can see that little steam coming up. When that sun hits it, it'll be gone. Go out here to the cemetery. I visit the cemetery sometime. Y'all might not do that. But it keeps reminding me, my life is like a vapor. Go out there and read. There's one over here on the other side of these woods. There used to be a church over there. There's a cemetery. Read those old headstones if you can. Some of them you can't even read. And Billy's like they said, the only thing most of them have between life and death is a dash. Born April 16th, 1954, dash, died. Don't finish that yet. I ain't done. But most of them, that's their whole life. That's their testimony. They didn't think about it. Their life is like a vapor. And some of you watching tonight, you're 60 years old, you're 70 years old, and for some reason you never think about death. But let me tell you something, your vapor's about gone. We don't have forever down here. And if you learn about Jesus and his eternity and where he came from and what he did and where he now is, you'll realize we're not even a little speck on this ball, and we don't last long as a puff of smoke. That's what I learning about Jesus. And then I learned this in verse 30. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. I found out that serving God is not really a burden. It's a pleasure. The greatest thing I've ever done since I've been born is serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I never would be famous for anything. And I won't even be famous for this, but I can tell you this, I get more pleasure out of serving him, and it lightens my load. Because when I'm serving me, I get guilty, and the load gets heavy.
Wow. Yes, sir.
I learned, number one, the value of time. Number two, the pleasure in serving Jesus Christ. listen, it says, look at it again. It says, my burden, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, let me tell you something. You serve you, and you're going to have a heavy yoke.
Yep.
And a heavy burden.
That's right.
You know why? You'll never satisfy you.
Insatiable.
You'll never satisfy those wants and desires and lust and coveting. You'll never satisfy them.
Amen.
There's not a big enough car. There's not a big enough house. There's not a big enough bank account. There's not a big enough title. There's not big enough fame or fortune. Every bit of it just lays on more and more burden and more and more burden. And what you need to do is take that thing off and lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, here's everything I am, everything I own, everything I've ever done or ever will do. I'm laying it at your feet. And he says, now that's good. I'm going to carry that for you. Now here, take my yoke. It's light.
Amen.
The love of Christ is light. Serving Jesus Christ is light. That's easy compared to things we do. Amen?
Amen.
And people will look at you and they'll say, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you work that hard job and how you put up with these people and you still want to serve the Lord. And you ought to look at them and say, serving the Lord's the easiest thing I do. Because he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments and they're not grievous. Then I thought about this. When I look at him and I learn about him, I learn about kindness. Now let's be honest. Can we be honest? Ain't many people here tonight. Y'all can be honest, can't you?
Yes, sir.
Or you can lie about it. Y'all the only ones here. It's harder to be kind than it is to be unkind.
Amen.
It's easier to slap back when you're slapped.
Yep.
Amen. It's easier to cuss somebody out when they're cussing you out. It's easier to cuss them out. It's easier to hate than it is to love.
Amen.
It's easier to want to get even than just get over it. Amen. If you'll learn about Jesus, you'll find out that there's power in kindness. I've had many people come to me since I've been saved, and especially since I've been preaching, and apologize for me for lies, for slander, for talking, gossip, and all this stuff, for getting mad at me and leaving the church. I've had them come back and say, I'm sorry I did that. And most of the time, I didn't even remember what they did. And sometimes, I didn't even know they did it at all, Brother Billy. You know what I'm talking about there. I didn't know. I didn't know they did that. But let me tell you something. If I'll do like Jesus does, and I'll be kind to everybody and treat everybody the same way, kindness will win the day. Every time. Kindness. They'll come back. I might not better mention that, but another one, I had a manager in the insurance company I worked for, and this man lives in a very large house with a large bank account and a very large neighborhood with the same kind of stuff going on. And we were having a meeting one Friday. We had meetings, and they'd kind of pat each other on the back, and this one sold this much, and this one done this, and this one done that. And he said this, the greatest compliment that man ever gave me, and I got a lot of hand claps for selling and all that stuff, life insurance, but the greatest compliment that he ever gave to me, he said, Ron Ronnie can talk to anybody, rich or poor, black or white, anybody. And I felt myself get flushed. I was kind of embarrassed because nobody ever gave me that compliment. But you know what that means? Kindness. Kindness works. And Jesus was kind to everybody. I know that preacher, that Baptist preacher you got, all he ever preached on was Jesus platting the whip, turning over the money changers' tables, running them out of there. But that didn't happen much. Amen? Now there comes a time you gotta take a stand. But most time I've learned Jesus was kind to people. He was kind to those that loved him. He was kind to the ones that did not love him.
That's right.
He was kind to the ones that followed his teachings. He was kind to those who did not follow his teachings. If you'll learn about Jesus, you'll learn about kindness. What was that old song Dr. Charles Weigel wrote? I wish you'd sing it one day. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus. Well, I wasn't kind to him. And there's a lot of people I wasn't kind to, but he was kind to me. He didn't have to save me. He could have walked in there that day through that preacher's mouth and said, there's Ron Roddy, I'm going to send him straight to hell. He ought to go to hell. He's mean, he's hateful, he's spiteful. I'm going to send him to hell and I'll be just doing that. Instead, he came in there and preached through that preacher, come unto me. Come unto me. I'll take you just like you are. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'm going to tell you something else I've learned by watching him. I grew up poor, been called white trash. I'm not in the upper class now, or even the middle upper, you know. I've always been that way. I've never had a whole lot. I've never been what you might call nobility. Y'all know what that is. Y'all know what that is. Y'all kin to some Catawba Indian queen or something. You know what I'm talking about. Nobility. You know, wears a robe and a crown. You know, I've never been a part of anything like that. But I learned this by learning about Jesus. I can look noble by laboring, by my labor. You know how rich people get rich? They work. I know some people inherit it, but they don't keep it. The people that are well off and have a lot of stuff, they labored to get that. And the world looks at them and says, I want to be like him. Now that's noble. That's noble. He didn't steal it. He didn't cheat anybody out of it. She worked hard. She got it. And now they just look like nobility. Well, you know what I found out? That I can labor for Jesus and people will think I'm somebody. Well, I ain't nobody. But if you'll go to work for the Lord, you labor for the Lord, lost people in the world will look at you and say, they must be somebody. They must be somebody. Now I know these new preachers wear these cut up blue jeans and short breeches and all that stuff when they go to the hospital. I don't do that. I put my suit on. I go down there to the hospital. I think these people I'm visiting deserve that nobility presence as much as anybody else. I'm not going in there to look like I just dug a ditch, though I do have a PhD. And, but I'll go in there, you know, and I have my suit on. I'll go in there. Did you know when nobody ever asked me a question? They never question me when I'm going to the hospital, never. Unless I ask them where somebody is or something, they just look at me like, well, he must be somebody. But they don't see me, they see Jesus on me, see.
That's right.
I can go, look, if you serve the Lord, it opens so many doors that you never would have got open before. People will honor you and they'll respect you because you serve the Lord. Billy, when you go over there to nursing home, they don't see Billy the welder. They see Billy the laborer.
Amen.
For the Lord.
That's right.
When you go over there to preach, they don't see Thomas the Yankee. The groundskeeper. They see Thomas the laborer for the Lord. When you stand up to sing with your red, green, white, black, or purple hat, they don't see a girl with a hat on. They see somebody come over there that's serving the Lord, and they look up to you. Y'all ain't never noticed that, how people look up to you, Tonda? Because serving the Lord makes you somebody. Now, it doesn't make you any better than anybody else, but I am noble. I have nobility in my life. My Savior is the King.
Amen.
He's the King of Kings. And He said, I want you to be my brother. I want you to be my friend. So now I'm in His family. I might be a duke or something. I don't know what I am. But look, I've learned by learning Him and learning about Him that He can take a nobody and make somebody out of you.
Absolutely.
And even the world notices that.
Amen.
And they'll say, look how she carries herself. Look how he behaves. That's somebody. Who is that? That's somebody. I'll go go places. They'll say, hey, I know you. I said, no, you don't know me. Yeah. Yeah, I know you. I've seen you somewhere. I said, no, you ain't never seen me anywhere. Yeah, I have. I've seen you on television or something. I said, no, you ain't never seen me. And then I tell them who I am and they don't know me. But see, because you're serving the Lord, you have that appearance of somebody. You're not just a dirty, rotten sinner anymore.
Right.
You're a child of the King.
Amen.
Serving God, laboring for the King of Kings. A lowly servant. Everything he wore was on his back. Everything he wore on his back. Bible says he had no place to lay his head, didn't it?
Yep.
Ain't that right, Devin? He had no place to lay his head. And went from town to town preaching. Sleeping in people's house if they let him. If not, he'd sleep out there in the open with a rock for a pillar. Sleep up in the Garden of Gethsemane. But boy, when he came into a town, the band struck up. The palm leaves would be thrown out. People would sing, Hosanna! Hosanna! And thousands would gather around him and hang on every word that he'd say. They'd hang on every word that he said. So I figured this out by learning about him. The more I know about him, and the more I behave like him, the more I look like him. Is that not what we want? I've learned I don't want to be me. I don't want people to know me. I don't want people to know any reputation I have. I want him to know him.
That's right.
And that's why I tell people, boy, that's a good sermon. I said, blame it on him. If you get anything good out of me, you blame it on him. He's the one that did that.
Amen.
But now when I walk into a jail or a hospital or chain gang or nursing home or somewhere, or even in the church, people will look at you and say, there's a servant of the King right there. He must be somebody. She must be somebody. And let me tell you something. In God's eyes, you are.
That's right.
I used to say this. I pastored this little church over yonder. And the Lord corrected me one time. Said, I ain't got no little churches.
Mm-hmm.
All my churches are big. Because I do big things in every church that I'm in. He said, now if that's my church, you quit telling people your little church. That's not a little church. That's my church. So you ought to brag on it. Amen. Amen. Don't apologize for the size. Amen. Glory in what he does when he meets you down here. I've learned that.
Little as much.
So I quit thinking about my feelings. I quit thinking about my emotions. I quit thinking about finding myself. I looked and found myself March 5th, 1978, a dirty, rotten sinner on his way to hell, and justly so.
Yes, sir.
And I turned to Jesus, and a nobody, white trash, going to hell boy, became a child of the King, adopted into the family of God, and I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same.
Amen.
But you want to know something else? The Apostle Paul said, I'm addicted to the ministry.
Yeah.
We got a lot of addicts out there. Some of you got children that are addicts. There may be one watching us tonight. But let me tell you something about this addiction right here. It only gets sweeter and sweeter.
Yes, sir.
Better and better. And can I say it? My school, my wife's a teacher. Here's another teacher. Can I say it? Gooder and gooder. Amen?
Amen.
It gets gooder and gooder. Amen? I'm addicted to it. I am so happy that I learned about him and I forgot me and I still learn about him. The more I learn about him, the more I look at him, not me.
Amen.
Now you go ahead and look at me. If you look long enough, you'll find something wrong with me. But you won't find anything with the one I'm following.
Boom.
Go ahead. Help yourself. Look at my church. You'll find people down here. There's things wrong with them. If you come and sit in, you'll just be another number. It's something wrong with you too. Not supposed to be looking at that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. What was the joy that was set before him? You.
Yes.
You. That one that's lost, you're the joy if you'll get saved. He get joy out of saving you, and it gave him joy to die so you could be saved. And if you are saved, he gets joy by you learning more about him and growing more like him.
That's right.
He said, learn of me. I think our churches need to get back to learning more about him, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I think we cut out a lot of these programs and get back to the foot of Jesus and learn more about him. I'll tell you what, I've never been the same. Tonight, if you're not saved, you know what you'll do? You done heard enough to know about him that he'll save you. Why don't you just surrender and say, Lord, that's me. I need to be saved. I believe you can do it. Ask him. He'll do it. You don't have to have a special prayer, the 12-step plan, all that. All you need is you know you're a sinner. You need a Savior. Turn to Jesus and ask him, and he'll save you. Whosoever will, he says, come unto me. Come unto me. And if you'll come, he won't look at you and say, no, you go. He'll say, no, you come on. Come on. I don't care where you've been. Don't care what you've done. You come to me. And saint, if you've gotten out of the will of God, you go to Jesus. He said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. He's the one that's faithful. You go to him, and as you turn to him from your sin, he'll say, okay, son, daughter, come on. Come on to me. I've been waiting on you anyway. Come to me. Come on. And then when you do that, you'll learn what he really is.
Yes.
And you'll want more of
That's
it.
Right.
Amen. 310, if you have a, I don't know, y'all don't have those song books at the house. I hope if you did, you stole it. So I hope you ain't got one. 310. All right. Somebody did borrow one. 310. If you're the one that borrowed it, sing it with us. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Help me. Gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Come, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trust me at a throne of mercy. Find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on earth thou call me, do not pass me by. Verse 3. Trusting only in thy merits, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Sing it out. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Amen. Thank y'all for watching, and I hope you'll watch tomorrow. If you're home tomorrow at 10, we'll do the devotions every day at 10, Monday through Friday. I'm preaching more now than I've ever preached. But anyway, Brother Billy Boatwright sent me a message and said, "Preacher, since church has been closed, we got more preaching than we've ever gotten before." He said, "We're listening Sunday morning, we're listening Sunday night and Wednesday night." And he said, "5 days a week, we're listening during the day." I said, "Amen." He said, "Keep that up after we open the church back up." I said, "All right, we'll do that." Amen. Thank y'all for coming. If you got saved tonight, if you asked the Lord to save you, please send some kind of little message, okay? And we want to give you some stuff that would help you grow and learn more about Him. If you rededicated your life, let us know. If you got a blessing, let us know. And share this immediately, okay? Thomas, come pray for us.